this old one, shall we have this pleasure? Warn the neighbor him, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, Abraham, about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He, God, said, no, but she did laugh. But he is laughing at God, or with him. At the end of this famous skit about Noah and the Lord, younger comedian Bill Cosby has Noah finally fed up. He's not about to build a silly looking ark and fill up his whole front yard. And he doesn't want to be a fool of the neighbor either. I'm just not going to do it, he says. Then come God's words. Noah, how long can you tread water? Of course, that doesn't. And Noah hustles back to his work on the ark. Okay, you laugh and you understand the point. Nobody mocks God. Nobody refuses God, and certainly nobody laughs at God. But Sarah did in our text. He actually began earlier. And then Abraham earlier did laugh at God, in effect. So, what about you and me? Do we laugh at God, or do we laugh with him? First of all, our laughter of disbelief is not laughing at him. As we said, Sarah laughed at God. Because actually, at 14 years earlier than our text, when Sarah was age 75, she laughed at God with her Hagar solution, you might say. God said she would have she and Abraham would have a son. And she laughed at God when she was 75 years old. As many of us, even as Christian believers, would say, for it's too late. But Sarai, as she was called at that time, did this in chapter 16 of Genesis. We actually go from Genesis 15 all the way to Genesis 21 in this full story. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had born no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband, his wife. Now we probably remember what the result of that was. Abram's firstborn child, because of the Hagar solution, was his firstborn son Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. Now, as it turns out, Ishmael is the ancestor of the Arab peoples. And I think we see from that situation that in the continuing history, even up to the present day, there would be trouble between Ishmael and, as the name would say, Isaac. There would be challenges between them, even to this day. So that Hagar's solution really wasn't a good thing. And in effect, Sarai was laughing at God, saying, God, you can't do it, I'll take care of it. Well, then it comes to verse 12 of our text today, and Sarah again laughs at God, basically, and she didn't just outside the tent, into the tent. Her laughter is one of disbelief. Sarah is now 89 years old, and the euphemism in the text we had there is the way a woman was no longer there. She couldn't get pregnant as she thought. Yet God still gave the promise. So that's Sarah. She laughed at God at least three times. And then there's Abraham. Abraham laughed at God a number of times as well. Because back in chapter 15, in invitation to Abraham in his late 70s. Perhaps that got him infected, but his human plan to adopt his servant Eliezer of Damascus. Read this in Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram continued, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. 1:4 of Genesis 15. This was Abram's laughing at God, so to speak, with his Eliezer plan. But as we can see, God definitely said, no, your own son, born from you and your wife, Sarah, this will be the child of promise. That's the first time. Then there's a second time, in Genesis chapter 17. This is when Abraham is 99 years old. This is after over 20 plus years of waiting, probably more like 25 years of waiting. And the Lord, actually, Abraham had heard the Lord repeat the promise. We're going to have a son. Son of promise. It's all been down here about him. Or there again, when he was 99, and we read from Genesis 17, verses 17 to 20. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will the son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Ishmael was now his 14-year-old son from Hagar. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. Isaac means he laughs. That's really saying God laughs. He laughs in a sense as he says, I'm going to do my plan. So he laughs or we try. Human beings try to do even what his believer people try to do. He says, I will establish my covenant with Isaac as an everlasting covenant for the descendants after. So Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and all the way on. Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And as for Ishmael, says God, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. God's going to take care of Ishmael. But he continues, but my covenant, my special agreement, my covenant, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. So as we look at, we have people of faith, Abraham and Sarah, people who followed God's direction and left their home country, went traveling for hundreds of miles, only having God's direction that they should keep on going. And now when we begin to settle down, then God says, okay, here's the plan. Here's the rest of the plan. But even they had to laugh and disbelieve in God, and they just couldn't understand how can you do this? I mean, there's certain things you can do and certain things you can't do. As we human beings, think about it. So even people of faith like Abraham and Sarah could laugh and disbelieve. But consider how you and I in disbelief ourselves. How often have we let fear, not faith, guide us? There's a number of times when things happen in our world, and I question God. I think you question God as well. Just this week, you might say, God, were you asleep when those four young men were driving to their weightlifting practice? Couldn't you have done something, Lord, about that situation? Or, put it in a more basic way, all sorts of people talk about drought, right? You have wherever you drought. And we say that a lot to each other, but we talk to God about that. We pray, Lord, Lord, help us with this drought. I think God is waiting to hear those prayers. When it comes to worship events, this is not any of us here, but have you heard people say, well, I worship on the golf course, or I worship at the lake, or I worship up in the mountains? That may be true, but unfortunately, I'm from Chicago, and I say, really? Really? You worship God on the golf course? I find myself doing something else on the golf course. But it's so tonight, we have our extra golf for this reason. So, or what about people who say, well, I take care of myself and my stuff. God can take care of his stuff. Not this. It's all God's stuff, isn't it? Or people say regarding offerings. The church seems to be doing fine, but I have to pay my bills. Well, St. Paul has the answer to all these, in a sense, laughter against God and nothing and misbelief with God. He says in Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Well, then we can see then that our laughter of disbelief is really no laughing matter. That's not the end of the story, is it? Our laughter of faith. Joyful laughter, and that God laughs with us when we laugh along with God. We see God at work even when we laugh at it, so to speak. In Genesis chapter 21, sort of the conclusion of the story of Abraham and Sarah, Genesis 21 reads, the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave him the name Isaac, which means he laughs, to the son Sarah bore to him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham, it says in this in verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. We notice here, Abraham named his miracle son Isaac. He laughs, as God had given him that name to use. He laughs. Not only Sarah, but Abraham and God also could laugh as God unfolded this plan in this marvelous, miraculous way. Then, of course, our text, Sarah, who before laughed herself in the tent. Now, as Isaac is born, she can laugh out loud at all the people around her, all the people who can celebrate this 90-year-old woman who just had a baby boy. And they lay the name, he laughs, and it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? The joy of God providing that promise, not only to them, but also to us as well. Sarah says in verses 6 and 7 of Genesis 21, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? 9 years old, nursing children. I have borne him a son in his old age. Then are we laughing at God or are we laughing with him? Faith laughs with God. Anthony DeMille wrote a book called 1 Minute Nonsense, and he has a story there. He says, talks about the master and how he operated. And you can see this is basically saying, talking about Jesus Christ. There was nothing pompous about the master. Wild and time he spoke, to the dismay of those who were solemn about their spirituality, solemn about themselves, said one disillusioned visitor, "This man's a clown." "No, no," said the disciple, "you miss the point. A clown gets you to laugh at him. A master gets you to laugh at yourself." Gordon Cosby, who built relations to Bill Cosby, was the founder and pastor of the Church of Our Savior in Washington, D.C. And he talked about preaching on occasion at a Latin evening service somewhere in New England. Worship was particularly dull and uninspiring. Nobody sang the hymns, nobody smiled, nobody reacted. The only thing that moved, he said, were the offering plates. Afterward, he and his wife were down in the press. Well, the church had reserved a room for them in the roadside inn, and it turned out it was the hub of the tavern. And the pastor and his wife couldn't help but parry the sounds of laughter, of music, and camaraderie beneath them in the tavern, compared to the grim, lifeless exercise of religion that they had just experienced. If Jesus of Nazareth had his choice, the pastor says, he would probably have come to the tavern rather than the church we visited. But the most favorite picture of Jesus I've ever seen is a picture of Jesus as he's out apparently fishing with his disciples. And Jesus is caught, you might say, in a burst of laughter. Belly laughter. He's just laughing like he never laughed before. And that, as I look at it, is our Lord Jesus Christ. How would disciples, how would fishermen, how would a group of people we could connect with, why would he ever hang around a dour, serious person? Jesus went out laughing because he was bringing God's gospel, the good news. Do we moan about good news, or do we celebrate and laugh about good news? That's a good spot. Laughing at God or laughing with Him. What is this belief? Not believing God will act or help, but laughing with God is faith, is trust, is joy. In our relationship with God, who loves us, made us Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and ultimately His own Son, Jesus, to live for us, to die for us, to rise for us, ultimately to come again to see us to His self. May the Holy Spirit let me at work in you and me in every challenging circumstance of life, that we laugh with God in faith. Amen. And I should stand as we continue with our prayers. Lord God, you made your word fully known in the person of your Son and in the proclamation of His gospel. Bring many out of this world and into connection with your church to share the riches He has won for us in His death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your minister, St. Paul, suffered for the sake of Christ's church and called both Jews and Gentiles into Christ's one body. Sustain the unity He forged and grant your ministers faithful hearts who are suffering in our day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you chose Abraham and Sarah, both barren, to bring forth the promised child, Isaac. Grant your heavenly comfort to those without children. Hear their prayers and grant their godly desires. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, may in wisdom and spiritual strength to all in authority, especially our Congress, Supreme Court, and President. Let them serve with integrity, always for the benefit of those under their care, to maintain righteousness, and for the prevention and punishment of wickedness. Lord, in your mercy, we are our prayer. Lord God, your people suffer in this life before they reach your heavenly kingdom. O Lord, sustain and comfort all who will suffer among us. We include Kim Shu, Ms. McWilliams, Benton, and Lord, we'll name others now in the quietness of our hearts. Lord, we celebrate that Scott Peterson, who we've been praying for, with family cancer and heart attack, has now returned to his home. Thank you for this great gift of love. Give to all of these we have prayed for the same spirit who gave your servant Paul, that they may endure in our holy faith. Lord, in your mercy,
we are our prayer.
Lord God, when you appeared to Abraham and Mamre, he offered a feast of which he himself did not partake. Receive our offerings this day, and grant us whole faith to partake in the body and blood of Christ for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you have forgiven our sins and delivered us from death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pour out your mercy upon us and give to us all the things needful for this body and life, and keep us from all things harmful. From you, through you, and to you are all things, O Lord and Holy Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit, one Lord, one God, now and forever.
Our prayers conclude as we share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Celebrate the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Please come forward to around the table as we gather for the Lord's Supper. Randy, take and eat this true body of your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ, given in death for all of your sins. Take and drink his precious blood shed on the cross for you. May the true body and blood of your Lord and Savior strengthen you in the faith to a life eternal. Serve your Lord now with gladness. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
take and drink this precious blood of your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ, given in death for all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of your Savior Jesus. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ shed for you. Take and drink the true blood of your Savior Jesus. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of every one of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. In your baptism, you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen. And in your baptism, you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. Take and drink this true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. Now may the true body and blood of your Savior and your Lord strengthen you in the faith to life eternal. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Amen. Take and drink the true blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for all of your sins. May the true body and blood of your Savior and your Lord strengthen you in the faith to life eternal. Your sins are forgiven. Receive the blessing of your Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord looks upon you with his favor and he gives you peace. Amen. We close with our final hymn, Lord, reign in me. Thank you. refrain in us as we hear the laughter and mirth in our world, but also have the laughter of laughing with God this week. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.